Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu Alaikum. The program Light Upon Light is a special program on the birthday anniversary of Amirul Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. One thing I really like about the Islamic Republic of Iran is that the special occasions are named after the occasions, the religious occasions. So, for example, today is known as Father's Day and Men's Day here. So I would like to congratulate all of the fathers and all of my fellow brothers in Islam out there. And inshallah, we're going to talk a little bit today about the role of fatherhood and why it's so important in Islam. In the studio with me is Dr. Radia Batul Najafi. Salaam alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Thank you so much for coming here. And Eid Mubarak.
Thank you so much. Mubarak to you too.
So today we are celebrating a very special occasion, the birthday anniversary of a person who was the closest to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, Amirul Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. We have in so many narrations that the Prophet praised him for his scientific abilities, for his ethical abilities, and he gave his most precious belonging to him as a form of amana or a trust to live with and to have children with his daughter, Lady Fatima, salamullahi alayha. So back to the point where I started with today's Father's Day and Men's Day here in Iran. And I would really like to take some time in a few moments today to talk about why it's so important to, you know, for fathers to play. Why is their role as a father so important, and how can they make most use of their role as a father in the family?
Yeah, whatever we know about maybe most of the information about motherhood and even about fatherhood, you know, it's from Rasulullah, the final prophet, Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Amir al-Mu'mineen. We have only little, unfortunately, because of the history, we don't have so much in detail the information about Bi Fatima Zahra sallallahu alayha. So what it shows that literally hadith says when this ayah of chapter Tahrim, verse number 6 revealed, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara, you have to guard yourself first and then your family from the fire of hell. So the ashab, the companion, you know, some of them, they started to weep, to cry. And they would say, how we can be a good father for our family members? And it's so tough because, first of all, you have, to, you know, Ya Rasulullah, you just keep telling us, ittaqullah, ittaqullah, yourself. Yeah. And that was a big challenge for us. And now, how can we guard our family also from committing sins and whatever?
Right.
So then Prophet, he started to teach them, you know, to even to comfort them, because they would take it very seriously. So for ashab, for fathers, there's a big role. You know, unfortunately, we don't talk. Like, how many, like, we have hadiths from A'imma alayhim salam, from fathers, you know, like how they would treat with their children.
Mm-hmm.
So this is very, I don't know why we think that this is only mother's
responsibility.
Yeah. You know, just leave Imam Ali alayhi salam. I want to start from even other prophets. Like, this was the just habit and seerah and character of all Anbiya and A'imma alayhi salam as a father. Like how Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, he says, "Afzalul a'mal hubbul atfal." Can you believe it? Like hub and having that affection and love, the expression of your emotion towards your children is the best of the deed near Allah Ta'ala. So the same thing is coming from Anbiya to A'imma alayhim salam. I literally remember, we all know that how kind he was towards the children of Medina, you know, Imam Ali alayhi salam. And once, you know, especially we say Abul Aitam, you know, one of the title of Imam Ali alayhi salam is the father of the orphans. Yeah. And once he went to one of the house of orphan, and definitely he used to visit them as a spiritual father. And he really wanted to make them happy. You know, he wanted to see, and the man should be full of emotions too when it comes to the family, you know. He's serious, definitely. He's focused, definitely, in his work. The moment he comes to the house, you know, we have to see the beautiful picture of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Like, one of the titles of Imam Ali alayhi salam is Zahak. You know, Bukaul Layl, the one who cries at night, you know, the conversation with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. But when it comes to, especially to the family members and the children,
He's the one who's always laughing,
you know, cheerful, bright. So it I don't know why we're missing this area a lot.
Even the Prophet, if I'm not wrong, he would bend over and he would give kids rides, you know. And this is, we're talking about Rasulullah, you know, he's the Prophet, the seal of prophethood. He has the miracle of the Quran. He's going to make a change in history. And look how he's playing with the children and
children,
you know,
giving of Medina, ordinary children. Yeah, we have many stories. Not only, you know, some people, they think only for Imam Hassan. Imam Hussain, he was so kind. He would give right to them. No, once he was going to the mosque to lead, definitely. And
prayers.
Some children, prayers. And some children, they came as usual, because this was the norm, you know. Otherwise, if you are a serious person, you know, frowny person, no one comes,
But
it was a norm, you know. The moment Prophet used to go to the streets, you know, the children would just
surround
him. So, and then, you know, because it was namaz time, he didn't say this is namaz time. And the same character we can see in Imam Ali alayhi salam.
I'm
going
to have to stop you here
about
Imam Ali. Please remember what you wanted to say. We're going to go for a very short break from Light Upon Light on the auspicious birthday anniversary of Amirul Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, Father's Day and Men's Day. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
The commander of the faithful, Imam Ali, is the son of Abu Talib and Fatima bint Asad, two monotheists from the Hashemite clan, who were also descendants from Prophet Ibrahim and Ismail. Abu Talib was the beloved uncle of the God's messenger, and so Imam Ali was the Prophet's cousin. 10 years before the first revelation, the wall of the house of Kaaba split open to host a pregnant Fatima bint Asad, who was going to give birth to the commander of the faithful, Imam Ali. In 3 days after this incident, the wall of Kaaba was once again opened, ushering out Fatima bint Asad and her infant boy, Ali ibn Abi Talib, to the astonished crowds of Meccan polytheists. Therefore, Imam Ali was the only person in history who was born inside the house of Kaaba. With his childhood spent in the house of the God's Messenger and Lady Khadija, Imam Ali was the only person who had the chance to learn and appreciate the great morals of the Holy Prophet. In fact, Imam Ali was the special apprentice of the God's Messenger who followed the Prophet at all times and places. In the cave of Hira, when the God's Messenger received his first revelation, Imam Ali was there and he could hear and see whatever happened in that cave. Hence, Imam Ali was the first person to believe in the message of the Prophet, and he preserved his unwavering belief till the end of his life. During the time of the boycott, no one was allowed to do business with the Muslims. However, Imam Ali was the only person who left the Valley of Sheikh Abi Talib in the dark night and purchased food and other essentials for the Muslims, using the wealth of Lady Khadija. In these years, and due to the serious threats to the life of the Holy Prophet, by orders of his father, it was Imam Ali who slept in the Prophet's place. When the Holy Prophet immigrated to Medina, Imam Ali openly accepted the risks and slept in the Prophet's place so that the Prophet could escape the polytheist assassins. Afterwards, Imam Ali returned everything assigned to the Prophet to their owners in Mecca, and then he took the family of the Prophet to Medina. The Prophet didn't enter the city of Medina until Imam Ali and the Prophet's family joined him at the city gates. After the migration to Medina, many people proposed to marry the Prophet's daughter, but the Holy Prophet always answered that this decision is only with God. On the second year after migration, and by God's orders, Imam Ali married Lady Fatima. The fruits of this marriage were 5 children: Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein, Lady Zainab, Lady Umm Kulthum, and finally an unborn infant who was named Mohsen by the God's Messenger, but he was martyred in his mother's womb. During his residence in Medina, the Islamic Prophet pronounced a bond of brotherhood between himself and Imam Ali. Years later, the Prophet made a public statement on the day of Ghadir Khum and introduced Imam Ali as his rightful successor, and everyone paid allegiance to Imam Ali on that day. However, the people soon ignored their allegiance to Imam Ali, and consequently, the leadership of the Muslim community fell to the hands of other rulers for 25 years. In all of these years, Imam Ali abided by the Prophet's orders and didn't rise up to claim his right. Instead, he busied himself with collecting the Holy Quran and helped the people with their judicial problems. In 25 years after the Prophet's demise, the frustrated Muslim community paid allegiance to Imam Ali as the next caliph, but not so long after that, they broke their allegiance once again and waged the Battle of the Camel in the year 36 after Hijra. During his tenure as the leader of the Muslims, Imam Ali never agreed to the suppressive reign of Muawiyah in Damascus. Imam Ali successively requested Muawiyah to resign his place as governor of Damascus, but Muawiyah chose to start a bloody war, called Siffin, in the year 37 after Hijra, to keep his grasp over Damascus. In the end, Muawiyah could deceive a fraction of the army of Imam Ali and convince them to agree to an arbitration that introduces the next Islamic leader. Muawiyah could also orchestrate the arbitration to select him as the caliph of the Muslims. The deceived fraction of Imam Ali's army, dubbed as Kharijites, waged the War of Nahrawan against Imam Ali in the year 38 after Hijra. 2 years after their defeat, one of the remnants of the Kharijites assassinated the 63-year-old Imam Ali while he was praying at the Mosque of Kufa.
Welcome back to your brothers and sisters in Islam. The program Light Upon Light is a special episode on the birthday anniversary of Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. My congratulations to all of my dear brothers and sisters around the world, especially to the father and men out there, that today is their day. So before the break, you were talking about how the Prophet was so... He was such a popular personality for the kids that they would surround him. And then you wanted to say something about Imam Ali that I had to cut you off for the break. So please
The same
ahead.
Character we can see in Imam Ali alayhi salam too. Like once when he visited the house of an orphan and he really wanted to make them happy and they were not. You know, like he's tried a lot. Like sometimes he would tell some jokes, you know, decent jokes. But still they were in a very, very sad mood. And the last trial was he started, Imam Ali alayhi salam started to make noise of goat's noise, like bah, bah, something like that. And he would get right, he would give right to the children, the orphan. And then he started to, like, you know, to act like a goat with his beautiful voice. And then they gave that big smile, you know. And then Imam Ali Islam, he would say, oh, now I'm the winner. I'm the Abul Aitam, you know, in my feelings. So this kind of amazing attributes which we can see for other children. So definitely the same father, no doubt about it. So even Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, once he was going to lead the prayers in the masjid and the children did just catch him up. So what he said, he didn't say, I have to pray. This is namaz time. You know, way we are a bit very strict. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with his that great position, he would be the first one to say salam, to greet them. Like he would feel so proud, you know. And then when he says that, I want to be remembered in a history, you know, and I would love people to know me as my sunnat, my character, my habit, that I'm the one who at-taslimu ala sibyan, who says first salam to the children. So definitely Imam Ali is the best, you know, follower. He's the nafs, he's the jan, he's the soul, he's the complete reflection of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and even Fatimah Sara salamullah alayha. So they all would say first salam, you know, they all would be in first in greeting to children, to visiting whenever they are sick, you know, to giving them so much rights. Literally Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would teach ashab and companions that, you know, when your child comes, you don't stand, look, just sit down, come to their level. This is the teaching of Rasulullah.
High level conversation.
And they
and this is a time where we are talking about people that they are so ignorant that they don't know how to teach adults properly, leave aside children.
And especially when you know, the time of something serious like namaz or something, you know, religious occasion comes, like even in majalis aza, in what do you call, roza khani, whatever, like serious
morning
kind
ceremony.
Of morning stuff, like people they get very serious, you know, they don't like the presence of
yeah.
children. But the seerah, the beautiful attribute of Imam Ali was totally different. Like what Rasulullah is saying, okay, he's not saying that I have to go to the masjid. He's saying, can you replace me with some balls? And what was the balls in that time? Like people, the kids, they would love
their
to
toy.
Play. Yeah, the toy was what?
Walnuts.
Walnuts, yeah. So it's so Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he sent Bilal that bring that 8-9 walnuts, you know, full walnuts, that the children can play and then I can go. Like this is a technique
you
of
know,
training.
To give them
a replacement. Exactly, replacement and diverting them.
Attention.
Not just rejecting
yeah,
them,
exactly.
you know, harshly. Just diverting them, giving them something which they really like, you know, and just telling them, be you know, wait for a few minutes, I'll be back, just play with these, you know, toys. So this is the amazing way which our fathers can just
learn.
You know, yeah, learn from Imam Ali alayhi salam, from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam.
You know, I think that there's so much about Amirul Mu'mineen that it definitely cannot be covered in this program, and I know that maybe a lot of people would have expected us to talk about how he was doing his khilafah, how he was exercising his role as an imam, and how he was so close to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. But I really think that for the Muslims today and for the Shias, this is a really big challenge, and this is a really great responsibility. That yes, like the verse that you started with, "Qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara."
Exactly.
It's not just you saving yourself from hellfire; you have the responsibility of your family as well. You know, you have to guide them, and to my limited experience, I think the biggest help that parents can give is just unlimited love and support to their kids, so that they will really be role models. You know, it's not important what you say, like, oh yeah, don't lie, you have to be generous, you have to be honest, you have to be this, you have to be
yeah,
that.
Islam believes a lot on touch. Mm-hmm. You know, the love. Like how much a reward we have if we do musafiha.
Shaking hands.
Like musafiha. Look at these terms. You know, even qubla, kissing, qubla. How much emphasis we have.
Yeah.
Hugging, mu'aniqa. So don't just touch. No, tight. You know,
yeah.
like musafiha should be very
like
really
tight.
Snug yeah,
hug.
Exactly. And that not only shaking hand, also, you know, hugging, tight
exactly.
hugging.
And so, especially from the father, who
exactly.
is in some cultures known as like the tough figure. So I think that we can infer from our discussion that the father and his roughness, it just has to break at the doorstep as soon as he comes inside the house for his wife and for his children.
Exactly.
And to be the source of mercy and
yeah.
love and affection.
And one point I'd really want to add here, that, you know, if our fathers, if they have a daughters. So scientifically, and also from Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, from Imam Ali alayhi salam, we learn a lot that, you know, the father should have very physical, you know, relationship, means in that sense, touching, kissing,
hugging.
You know, putting, yeah, hugging towards his daughters.
Right.
You know, if you're very close, you know, sometimes, whenever, therefore we have hadith, أَكْثِرُوا قُبْلَةَ أَوْلَادِكُمْ أَكْثِرُوا. There's no
increase.
Limit. Yeah, like 10 times, 20 times, wherever, whenever. Ever, you know, you feel in a decent environment, you have to hug
kids.
And kiss, and you will see the big change in your daughters. You know, this is wajib, something wajib. You have to give this dose every day to all
like
of your children. Yeah,
multivitamin. Thank you so much, Dr. Najafi. Thank you for staying tuned with us to Light Upon Light, a special episode on the birthday anniversary of Amirul Mu'mineen, Imam Ali alayhi salam. Congratulations to all of you out there, especially to the father and men. Because today is your day. I hope that inshallah we can put to practice the discussion that we had today, at least to some extent. Until another episode, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.